Okay. I think we're ready. Are we ready? This thing isn't even on, Annie. How do you hear me? I turned it. Oh, wait, it was on. My bad. Oops. Maybe the batteries. Yeah, but I don't have batteries on though. Okay, well, we got some announcements. Stop laughing. This is my first time up here and you guys are laughing at me. Man. Well, for those of you who weren't at the fellowship night last night, you missed out. Because it was crazy, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm like sore. My thighs are sore. My core is sore. My back's sore. I'm so old. It's really sad. I'm like 19 and I can't even play games anymore. So next month though, instead of the fellowship night, we're doing the JH formal. Okay, it's April 28th on a Friday, not a Saturday. Friday. Or not 28th, it's the 8th. Sorry. 8th. Forget it, the 8th. This is the flyer, and the theme is Game Show Extravaganza. Game Show Extravaganza! So basically, imagine you're going to go be on a game show, like, Mr. Game Show just called you up and he said, hey, you've been invited to the game show and we're having you. And so what are you going to put on? You're going to put on some black jeans, a dress, a blouse, slacks, I don't know, button-up shirt, bow tie. You don't need to wear a bow tie. You won't wear a bow tie or you will? You will. Good. What else? Maybe a tie, suspenders. I'd probably wear like black jeans, these shoes, a nicer button-up. You know, corporate casual. Maybe like cocktail party. You know what I'm talking about? Semi-formal. Semi. So, yeah, that's the 8th, and we're gonna play game shows. You name it, we'll be playing it. Just kidding. That'd be way too much. And it costs $20, so save up your pennies, mow some lawns, pull weeds. Just kidding, don't pull weeds. One time I pulled in a neighbor's weeds, and I was out there like all day, and he gave me like 10 cents. Serious, I'm not even joking. And I was excited, I was like, I'm going to the moon! But I didn't. And then we have Good Friday service on the 25th of March. So that's before the game show. So 25th of March, Good Friday, and we're celebrating, mourning the death of Jesus, and then we will celebrate his resurrection on Sunday. Oh, opening it up. Okay, so I forgot to do this on first service, so I feel like I should get 2 tries, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the technique? I've never done this. This is my first time. Is it the arch? Do I want to arch it or dart it?
Just throw it.
Arch it? Dart it. Dart it?
Dart.
No! No! No way! No! No way! Oh, I'm so crazy! Whoa! Waffles next week! Yes! Oh, man! This is where I belong! Oh! Number two! I don't even know if this is in the budget! Okay. I gotta tell Sam! Okay. Wow, that was crazy. Okay, so those are our announcements. Everybody turn to 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, 1 John. So start from the back of your Bible, Revelation, Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. It's a little sliver. It's just like 2 pages long. 1 John 1. So, not the gospel. It should say, like in the top corner of your Bible, it'll say 1 John instead of just John. So, like, last like 10 pages of the Bible.
Wow, I lost my voice from yelling. Gotta calm down. Whew. Gathering myself here. Oh, that's crazy. Do you guys do waffles or donuts? Crepes. A whole bunch of creeps. We'll get a whole bunch of creeps up here. No, I feel like donuts would be better. We don't need tables. I mean, yeah. Mr. T's?
If you get donuts, Valley donuts. Later than that, you are considered a traitor.
A traitor?
Yes.
Am I even a Christian anymore at that point?
No.
Okay, do you guys have y'all got First John?
Yeah.
If you got it, say, got it.
Got it.
If you don't got it, say, don't got it. So many said, don't got it. Who said, don't? Okay, well, stand up anyway, and we're going to read the Bible. Okay. Oh, I'm still out of breath. That was crazy. Okay. I might, like, have to take a breather at, like, verse 5, so give me a break. Okay, we're going to read the whole chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, and are... Whoa, okay, I'm too excited. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. So verse 5 and on is what we're really going to focus on. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, you are so great, so greatly to be praised, and we are thankful to be called your people, Lord, to be able to pray to you in public, Lord, and to be able to get to know you more in unity and as a group, Lord. I ask that you would fill me with your Spirit, speak through me to your people, Lord, and I ask that these would be the words that that they need to hear right now, Lord, that they will be encouraged, Lord, that we will all be built up on our most holy faith and grow in you. We love you so much, Father. We give you our attention now, and we're excited to get to know you more. And we pray all of this in your name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a seat. Oh, man, I'm still out of breath, and I've still lost my voice. Oh, man. Okay. Have you guys ever seen The Lorax?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, we're gonna try to perform a song, okay? So so I need you guys to like yeah, okay. I'm gonna sing it, and if you know it, sing along with me. How bad can I be? I'm just doing what comes naturally. How bad can I be? Come on! I'm just following my destiny. How bad can I be? I'm just doing what comes naturally. How bad can I be? How bad can I possibly be? Ah, that was so good. Okay, so you guys know the Onceler is who sings that song, and he's that guy who goes to like a really nice place with a whole bunch of trees, cuts them down to make his thneed, which everybody needs a thneed, right? It's a little thing that everybody needs. But it's that question that he asks. How bad can I be? I'm just doing what I want to do. I'm doing what I need to do. I'm doing what makes money. I'm doing what makes me happy. So how bad can I possibly be? And that's the question I'm going to answer for all of you today. So my goal is to make all of us leave here realizing that we are bad and having that question answered. I know, it's a really, really good subject, really light and happy. So I hope you guys are all looking forward to this. Okay, let me just give you an overview of the book of 1 John. And you can put up our 1 John slide. It's at like the bottom of the stuff, and it says, it's an orange slide. Yeah, try to find it. Okay, William MacDonald, about the book of John, there it is, once wrote this. He said, the book of 1 John is like a family photo album. It describes those who are members of the family of God. Just as children, little kids, resemble their parents, so God's children, us, resemble his likeness as well. So basically, the book of John, what he's doing is he's like painting a very simple picture of what it looks like for us as God's children to be Christians. It's like the, you guys remember when you wanted to learn something really quick and so you'd read those books like how to do magic tricks for dummies? It's kind of like how to be Christians for dummies. Like, this is what we do. This is what it looks like. If you are this, you should do this. So it's really simple, but it's super powerful as well. So Sam and I, our goal is to just together to learn more what it looks like to be Christians and how to live like God, but also live for God, and like what that means, what it looks like, how it should feel, because sometimes it doesn't feel good, sometimes it feels pretty lame, and people laugh at us, and also think we're dumb for it, because a lot of people do think that Christianity isn't the smartest thing to believe. So, what does it look like, how we do it, that'll be our goal. And we're starting with, and the title of this teaching will be, Came from the Darkness, because that's where we came from. And we're going to the light, so we've come from the darkness. And we're going to look at two main points. We are all dark, and not like dark skin, like me. We're all evil, yes. So just clarifying, and the light has come. So so we're going to start, we are all dark. Romans 3:28 says, for everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. And that's the truth. Everybody has sinned. Whether you feel like you have, or you don't feel like you have, or you feel like you have a lot, we've all sinned, and we've all sinned equally to where all of us are destined to death and to spend eternity in hell, paying off the debt that is brought from our sin. So to kind of show you how easy sin is and that it's really everywhere, we should look at Galatians 5:19. You don't have to turn there, but it's basically a list of what sin is, what it looks like, and how we are sinful. So I'll read it for you and kind of explain some of them as we go. And I encourage you, as you hear some of them, just be like, have I ever done that? Does that look like me? Be honest with yourself. Compare and contrast. Maybe I haven't done this, but I have done that. So just be honest as we go through this. Still losing my voice. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, this is Galatians 5:19, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, so just like filthiness, evilness, lustful pleasures, so looking at a person, whether you're a guy or a girl, looking at a guy or a girl, with a lustful desire, wanting to do things or wanting to experience things with that person that God doesn't have for you at the moment. Idolatry, so that's, if anything, anything in this world, whether it's a grade on your report card, a friend, or a band, because we all got Bieber fever, right?
No.
No? I started to get it with his most recent album. I'm just coming down with it. Just kidding. I'm not. So just having anything in your life that is better than God, that you treat better than God, which is crazy. Like, how many things are pulling us to give our more focus, to give our more time, to say, I'll do this for that instead of doing it for God? That's crazy. If you haven't fallen into idolatry, you're incredible, and we should hang out because I need to learn a lot from you. Sorcery, that can be compared with like witchcraft, also with like drug use, drug abuse, hostility, so just like rudeness, mean, that person you walk up to and every time they're either like sarcastic or they're like, shut up, I don't want to talk to you, stupid. Then there are people like that and they're kind of grouchy. Quarreling, so people that just can't get along for the life of themselves. Like, they don't even know why they're upset at each other, they just don't want to get along. And, or it's like a little thing, like, because they don't like coffee and whatever else. Jealousy, so you can be like jealous of a person, like you want all their focus and attention, and when they're not giving it to you, you're just upset at them, and you're upset at life. Or if they have something that you want, you're also upset at them and upset at life because you don't have what they have. Outbursts of anger, you just, on a like snap of the fingers, you're just upset. Selfish ambition, so doing things only for yourself, me, myself, and I, my way or the highway. Dissension, kind of like separation, quarreling. Division, that's also similar to quarreling. Envy, a lot like jealousy, but it's like when someone has something and you're just like, oh, I want that so bad. I don't care what happens to them. I just want it real bad. Drunkenness, so that's drinking and getting drunk. But in our case, because we're all under 21, except for Annie, sorry, we can't drink at all. So if we've drunk, then that is a sin because we're disobeying the law. Wild parties, that kind of speaks for itself, just crazy parties. And other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's Galatians 5:19. So if you look at that list and you can say, I don't do any of those, I'm pure, spotless, I am the perfect lamb, that's blasphemy, so you have just sinned. And also Jesus takes it a step further in Matthew 5. And he says, you can sin in your mind. So if you look at a man or a woman with lust, that you have committed sexual sins with that person, just because it's in your mind. If you look at a person and you just hate them, like, you won't hurt them, but if you could, in like some fantasy world, you would kill them. Then you have killed them in Jesus' eyes. So, in that case, you're a murderer. So, and Jesus puts you on the same level. So, the truth is, if you can look at this list and say that you're not sinful, then I think you're lying. Because we have all sinned. Whether it's the smallest lie or the most wild party, we have all sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard, like it talks about in Romans. Though this is true, that we have all sinned, there are important things that we have to realize within that. And so I'll point you to verse 5 and verse 8 of our chapter. Verse 5 says, this is the message we have heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. So we really need to break this down and look at what it's saying. Basically, John is telling us that if you cannot get to the point where you realize you've sinned, whether it's what you view as a big sin or a little sin, even though the Bible doesn't distinguish, murderers are on the same level as liars and people that disobey their parents. You deserve the same punishment, and you need the same deliverance from Jesus. And if you cannot admit that you're a sinner, then you are not in the light. You do not have a true relationship with Christ because you haven't allowed him to redeem you from the life that you lived before. So this is very important. Like, I'm not just saying this to make us feel bad or to condemn us, but because, like the study, enlightenment, love, if we can't admit that we're wrong, that we started off wicked and evil, we cannot take the steps that are necessary to live in light and in love. So this is like the foundation that we're going to build upon as we continue our study. And then verse 8 says, if we claim that we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. Basically, we're living a lie. If we look at ourselves and say, you know, I'm glad Jesus died for them, but me and him, I'm just friends with them. He didn't really need to do anything for me or to help me. Or I didn't really need that much saving because I've never done anything bad. You're living a lie. That's what John's telling us. And we need to come into the light and live in Jesus, realizing that we are dark and that he is the only one who can redeem us. So what do we do with this? Now that we're all evil, wicked, beat up, feeling not too good, what's our response? And luckily, John doesn't leave us at that. He doesn't say, you're all dark, and you all deserve hell, and that's where you're going, so realize that and stick to it. No, he's encouraging us, and this is why he's doing it. And that brings us to our second point. The light has come. And we'll look at verse 9 in chapter 1. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once we realize that we are sinful, that all of us are just as, that we need God's grace just as much as everyone else, that he died for us just as much as the thief on the cross, who most commentators believe that the thief on the cross was a murderer who lived his whole life, most likely following Barabbas, who was a serial killer practically, and at the moment of death, next to Jesus, before this time he was ridiculing Jesus, making fun of him, on the cross, hanging, barely able to breathe, and then it hits him. Whoa, I am wrong. I have sinned. I was a murderer. I was a thief. Who knows whatever else he was. He was probably a liar, a very rude, mean person. He probably idolized a whole lot. And he realized in that moment, I am wrong. Jesus, this man I'm right next to, being crucified with, is holy and just and set apart. And he is the only one who can save me. And then we know what happened in that moment. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. Your lifestyle, this whole life you lived of stealing, killing, whatever else, has been forgiven, and you will live with me in paradise. So he shows us what we need to do. And the passage shows us as well. We need to confess to basically, that means to admit or declare ourselves guilty of what we've been accused of. And we've been accused of sin, and we've been sentenced to death. And so what the passage is telling us to do is to look at our lives, look at ourselves, say, yeah, I have been idolizing this, or I did idolize that, or I have lied about this. I don't always obey my parents. I do want to do this. I do hate this person. We need to confess that directly to the Lord. Come to him humbly and lay ourselves down before him and tell him what we've done. It's a, like, it's a true confession, you know? It's not just as easy, like, Lord, I am a sinner, and I need you to save me. I think we need to realize where we've sinned and then tell him, Lord, I've done this, I've done that. I shouldn't have done this, but I did. Or you told me to do this, and I didn't. And I am so sorry, and I ask for your forgiveness. And we know that the passage says, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins once we admit that we are wicked. And it's crazy, like the thief on the cross. As soon as he admits that he's wrong and puts his faith in the righteousness of Jesus, his life, the whole life he lived up until his death, his point of death, he has been made pure and good and righteous. It's like, it's a weird flip, you know, because as soon as you admit you're evil, you're made righteous. And sometimes we want to run away from it. We want to say, I'm not wicked, and that keeps me righteous. But when we come to God and say, I am wicked, I've done this, I've done that, we are right away made righteous. And we don't have to work for it. We don't have to hide anything. We just have to be who we are and be honest of that. And we are made good, and we are brought into the light. Something that we could never achieve on our own, but something that we should be so thankful for God's death and for his blood that cleanses us. So, as we come to a close, there's probably three different type of people in here, and I want to encourage all of you. There's the person who's already in the light. So, in the past, they realized that they are wrong, that they are wicked, and they came to Jesus and said, you are so much holier. I lay myself down before you, and I want to live for you. And they are in the light, and they are in communion with him and fellowship with us and living with Jesus and for Jesus. And then there's also the person who can't see their wrong. So even hearing this teaching, you still look and say, I don't know if I need that. I don't know if I deserve death, if the things that I've done are bad, and I don't know if I have truly sinned. And then there's a third person, the last person, who sees their wrong and hasn't yet committed their life to Jesus. So, to the first person who's in the light already, continue in the light, like, please, and be thankful that you are in the light. Remember what God has brought you from. Remember your testimony, what he's delivered you from, where he's brought you, what you struggled with, what you still struggle with, and how he's been faithful. And continue in that light. And don't take it for granted, you know. Don't think that because you're in the light that you've made it completely, you know, that you don't have to try anymore. But continue seeking the Lord and getting to know him more and serving him with all that you are. And then to those who can't see their wrong, I would encourage you to take time this week and to look at Galatians 5:19, that list of sins, and just be honest with yourself. You guys are mature enough to look at Scripture and then look at yourselves and study it and compare yourself to it and then see how it applies to you. So on your own, you don't need the help of a parent, though if you desire that, that's super good. And it's good to talk with people who are close to you. Talk with friends, because they'll probably be able to show you ways that you are sinful, even if we don't see it. And take time and seek the Lord out for this, because it's very clear that until we realize our sin and admit that we are a sinner, that we are wicked, that we cannot enter into the plan that God has for us. We cannot receive salvation until we've admitted our sin. So take that very seriously and seek that out the rest of this week. And to those of you who see they're wrong, you see you're wrong, and you're not yet in the light, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You're not promised tomorrow. You don't know if you'll leave this building alive. You know, anything can happen. And the Lord could come back at any time. And if you're not ready, then you will have to pay the price for that. So I encourage you to enter into salvation today, to accept the Lord as your Savior. It's so simple. All you have to do is recognize it's four R's. It's very cool. This is really cool for sharing the gospel as well, because it's easy to remember. Recognize that you're a sinner and that that you are wicked. And I'm sure you've already arrived at this point in the teaching, or maybe you arrived there before this teaching. And then realize that because of your sin, that you deserve death and that you deserve hell. And then repent, which basically means once you've identified your sins, whether it's idolatry, lust, whatever it may be, to turn away from that sin and then to live for the things of God. And no, you're not going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But it's that choice. Lord, I don't want to just live a lifestyle of wickedness. I want to live a lifestyle in the light. And I'm going to turn away from that. And I'm going to run after you. And then receive Jesus into your heart. And I encourage you to do that today if the Lord has led you to do that. You can talk to me, you can talk to Annie, and we'd love to pray with you to accept Jesus into your heart. And then we can start working on what it looks like to live in the light, in love, and with us all on that common foundation of Jesus as our Savior, that we were once sin and now we're all in the light. We can do this whole journey together in complete unity and in fellowship. And that's definitely the heart that God has for us, and it's the heart that God has for you, because He loves you, and He wants to save you from all that you've done. So continue to seek the Lord on this week, and then we're going to move on Wednesday, and we're going to look at what it looks like to live in the light. So really cool, really good stuff. Let's pray, and then I think they just got out, so it should be perfect timing. Dear Lord, we are wretched, Lord. We do not deserve an ounce of your grace or of your love. And you did not deserve to die on the cross next to thieves and murderers. But you did, Lord. You took our sin upon yourself and you died for us. We are so thankful, so in awe of your sacrifice. And we praise you for it, Lord. We pray for those who are in the light that they will continue, Lord, that they will get to know you more and get to serve you more with their lives. And we pray for those who see their wrong and are not yet in the light, Lord. Let this be the day that they enter into a relationship with you and get to know you more and to walk with you all the days of their lives. And we pray for those who can't yet see their wrong, Lord, that you would reveal to them your holiness, Lord, and how different we are from you, Lord, because of our sin. And we ask that this week would be a time where we get to grow in you more and know you more. We pray that you would bless us in our interactions at school and with our family, and that you would be the center of our heart, Lord. We surrender afresh to you. And we pray all this in your name. All God's people said,
Amen.
So, next week, donuts. Tell your friends, tell your parents. They can't have any, but your friends can. See you guys Wednesday. We're looking at 1 John 2.